Thank you. Be seated. The court is ready to hear oral argument from the petitioners in Colum versus City of Abilene.
May it please the court, the petitioner is represented by Mr. Craig Neese. The petitioner is reserved 4 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, my name is Craig Deeks and I do represent the petitioners herein. The issue presented for decision by the court in this case requires interpretation and application of Article 1259P, Section 6. The pertinent portion of the statute is listed on this poster to my left. The statute requires that fire department employees whose duties do not include fighting fires are entitled to a 40-hour work week and overtime pay for hours in excess of 40 worked in a week. By way of background, the petitioners in this case at all times were classified as fire lieutenants in the Abilene Fire Department. Now, the Abilene Fire Department, like most fire departments, is divided into divisions. The largest by far is the Fire Suppression Division. 90% to 95% of the firefighters are in this division, and that's what we think of normally when we think of firefighters. These are the people in the fire stations who ride the fires and fire trucks and assist in putting the fires out. But the time in question in this case, the petitioners were transferred to a different division, the Fire Prevention Division. They were called inspectors and carried an inspector's badge. They reported to a chief inspector. They were taken out of the fire stations. They did technical fire inspections and reported to fire scenes not to help in firefighting, but to investigate the cause of the fire after it was put out. The question presented to the jury was whether their duties included fighting fires during the time they served as inspectors in Fire Prevention Division. The jury's 10-2 verdict was that they did include fighting fires, and the petitioners appealed the judgment on that verdict. I'll focus today on oral argument with the court's permission on point of error number one, dealing with the legal sufficiency of the evidence in support of that judgment. It's first important to discuss the legal standard established by this court to be used in reviewing that evidence. This court has said that any kind of official work assignment that does not include firefighting and exceeds the regular 40-hour week is compensable as overtime. The statute itself describes jobs that do not include fighting fires. Two of the jobs specifically so identified are the jobs of investigators and the jobs of inspectors. The cases then require the court focus on the actual work assignment, what the employees are actually expected to do and what they do in their jobs. One case holds that token or insubstantial assignment of firefighting duties will not defeat entitlement for overtime pay. In essence, then, the court needs to focus on the actual job that these persons are asked to do and do. Now, the evidence adduced in this case was overwhelming that the actual job given to petitioners did not include fighting fires. They were inspectors and investigators, jobs identified as non-firefighting in the statute itself.
Counsel, you make the same argument to the jury, I assume, not you, somebody else, on behalf of these firefighters.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And you say there is absolutely no evidence in this record for us to sustain the jury verdict?
That's correct, Your Honor. There is no legally sufficient evidence upon which the jury's verdict can be sustained. The jury and the Court of Appeals, in turn, relied upon evidence not about the official or actual work assignments of these people, but rather other evidence that did not go to what they were actually expected to do in their job. Now, the two jobs were entirely...
What evidence did they rely on, counsel?
Your Honor, the evidence that they relied upon and that the Court of Appeals cited was, for example, the job description that existed. There is a fire lieutenant's job description, and it does describe a firefighting job. But that same job description, read in totality, also states that lieutenants may do other jobs. And one of the jobs specifically listed is the job of inspector in fire prevention, the very assignment these men were given. Thus, that job description, viewed in its totality, supports the petitioner's arguments herein. Now, there was an inspector, a separate inspector's job description, a five-page document. The Court of Appeals cited one line on the fifth page of that document that said that inspectors may be required, quote, to respond to working fires, close quote. And that same instruction was also in a general order cited by the Court of Appeals. However, the unrebutted testimony was that they respond to fires not to assist in firefighting, But after the fire was put out to investigate, to see what caused the fire, to investigate for possible arson. So the fact that they responded to fires had nothing to do with the actual job assignment, which was inspection and investigation.
You're telling me that they had a major fire in this city, and they were just a big, big fire. And they were there, and they would not lift a hose. They would not take an axe. They would not take any equipment to assist their brothers fighting the fire. They would just sit there motionless until the fire was completely over for them to do their duty?
No, Your Honor, that absolutely is not our position. In those cases, I assume that they would attempt to assist in the fire, and there's a couple of instances where two of the eight petitioners actually did that. But that doesn't go to their official work assignment. The example I use, and I would use here again, is that of a counselor. A counselor in a school has a teaching certificate and knows how to teach. They've had to be a teacher in the past. If a teacher got sick, they could substitute in for that teacher until a substitute teacher could be obtained. That doesn't mean that that counselor's official work assignment is teaching. In an unusual circumstance, sure, that counselor subbed in because they're able to do that and they wanted to help out. But their official work assignment remains that of a counselor. By the same token, in this case, even though these guys might, on very seldom occasions, in dire circumstances, assist in fighting a fire, their official work assignment includes only investigation and inspection work. And they should not be deprived of the advantages of the statute simply because they might, in an unusual circumstance, do that.
You were not able to impress the jury with that argument, and you're trying to impress us with that argument, and for us to substitute our judgment for that of the jury.
Your Honor, I don't think that what we're requesting the court to do is to substitute its judgment for that of the jury. What we're asking the court to do is look at the evidence that was produced to the jury and determine whether the probative evidence before that jury indicates that the official work assignment of these gentlemen included fighting fires. There is another point of error that we've raised concerning irrelevant evidence that came in that we have contended was improper and may well have influenced the jury to render a verdict against the evidence. However, we would ask the court, in looking at the evidence and in listening to the arguments of the parties, to listen to which party is talking about what these gentlemen actually did in their jobs, what they were expected to do. In 7 years as an inspector, Carl Collin, a petitioner in this case, was never asked to participate in fighting a fire. In 7 years, Henry Davila, as an inspector, was never asked to assist in fighting a fire. In 12 years as an inspector, Larry Richards, never asked to assist in fighting a fire. Jeff Parker had a heart attack. When he came back to work, the fire chief said, "I don't want you fighting fires anymore. I'm going to make you an inspector." Larry Richards lost an eye in an accident. He was deemed physically incapable of fighting fires. He was made an inspector
Jeff,
in fire prevention.
You're making a good case with your facts of what actually occurred, but I'm sitting here looking at the statutory provision that whose duties do not include fighting fires. You stop right there. If their duties, you're distinguishing between all duties, primary duties, job descriptions, what they may be called upon to do is what they are by law required to be called upon to do. I'm having a hard time dealing with it. Whose duties do not include fighting fires. If at any point their duties may include fighting fires, then they don't have the benefit of that provision.
Your Honor, what I would point the court to their own decision in Kierstead versus City of San Antonio. What you look at is the official work assignment. And the official work assignment for these gentlemen was the job of investigators and inspectors, jobs defined by the statute itself as non-firefighting jobs. It's true, and we don't deny that they had been firefighters in the past. They know how to fight fires. In an emergency situation, they could be asked to fight fires. But what we ask the court to do is to look at the job that these men were requested to perform and did perform day in and day out. They did a technical inspection work. They went to hospitals and they went to nursing homes and did inspections. And when fires occurred, they went to the fire scene to investigate to determine the cause of the fire after it was put out. They weren't given self-contained breathing apparatuses, which is an essential firefighting tool. They didn't respond hot to fires. They didn't go with sirens flashing and get there as quickly as possible. That wasn't their job. we do feel that the court has to distinguish between what is the actual job that is given to a fire department employee and what the fire department employee may be requested to do in any type of dire circumstance. If you look at the official work assignment, what they're actually requested and required to do, these men were inspectors and investigators. They were given badges that identified them as such. They stopped receiving the firefighting training that firefighters in the Abilene Fire Department receive on every shift. So there was no evidence. The evidence relied upon by the Court of Appeals, and you can look at each and every instance of about seven things that they listed, and they're discussed in both parties' briefs. None of it relates to what they actually do. The danger in allowing a judgment to stand on that kind of evidence is that it allows the city to essentially gut the statute and to deprive people clearly entitled to its benefits from enjoying those benefits, ignore the official work assignment, what the inspectors are required to do, just make sure there's a line in the job description that arguably relates to firefighting, have your fire chief testify that he understands their job duties include firefighting, even if that's totally unrelated to the fact. It deprives them of the benefits of the statute.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from Ms. Farmer.
May it please the court, respondent is represented by Ms. Claudia Flynn.
Gentlemen, in the modern fire department, firefighters are called upon, trained, are expected to perform, and do perform many duties. The uncontroverted evidence below showed that in actuality, only 1% of a firefighter's duty time in the city of Abilene is actually spent fighting fires. Thus, 99% of a firefighter's time is spent doing other tasks. Among those tasks, inspection, investigation, fire prevention, maintenance, many other tasks and details which a modern fire department must attend to. We are not here to rehash the facts below. The jury listened to both sides. The jury listened to the city's evidence and to the fire lieutenant's evidence as to what their official work assignment was or was thought to be. The evidence shows below that the Court of Appeals correctly relied upon the facts that the jury did in upholding the jury's verdict. I will not rehash the facts with you again today. I would say that all of counsel says it's unrebutted, uncontroverted. The city's brief below in the appellate court certainly shows on every page where the testimony that Counselor Ginsight today was controverted, it was rebutted. This court, in applying the standard or proper test for a no evidence point of error, is to look at the facts that support the jury's verdict and disregard all evidence to the contrary. What plaintiffs are asking you today is to disregard what the jury found and look at everything to the contrary. That is not the proper test. In our brief before this court, we listed 12 things that the Court of Appeals found dispositive of this case, that the Court of Appeals found would uphold the jury's verdict. While plaintiffs continue to argue that their only duties involved inspection staff, the jury simply did not accept that argument. It is the province of the jury to weigh the credibility of witnesses and decide what evidence to accept or reject. As the court stated in Privet versus Irving, the fact issue before the court is whether or not dispatching in Irving, inspecting the city of Abilene, is an official work assignment in and of itself or simply part of a broader job duty. The jury below obviously found that the fire lieutenants who served as inspectors, that inspecting was simply a part of a broader job description. Tillman, I think the jury answered the question very clearly. They found that plaintiff's duties did include fighting fires. They found from the evidence that plaintiffs were indeed firefighters who were expected to fight fires, who did fight fires, and therefore they were not due overtime in the city of Abilene.
Can you briefly summarize the evidence the city put forth that the jury heard on this issue?
Yes, sir. During the early 1980s, West Texas crude flowed well. There was plenty of money in the city of Abilene. We had money to do lots of things. We had money to hire lots of personnel. What the jury heard was how during this time of good flowing money, the city of Abilene upgraded its fire department. What it had, when it had its inspectors on 24-hour shifts, they were able to rotate in and out. They served approximately one-third of their time under the chief inspector for fire prevention. They spent two-thirds of their time under the direct supervision of a district chief in suppression. Contrary to what council says today, they were not completely taken away from the fire station. Indeed, they slept at the fire station. They had their bunker gear there. They were there with the firemen. They went out with the district chief and his driver to do inspections in the evening. When the district chief got a call and went to the fire, they went too. One of the plaintiffs who's not here as an appellant, Patrick Bechtel, he did not appeal this far. Patrick Bechtel testified that, yeah, sure, we filled in. When somebody's gone to the store, somebody was out, somebody was somewhere else, we climbed on a truck and filled in. Plaintiffs seems to make a great issue. They didn't have their own breathing equipment. The jury heard evidence that it didn't make any difference. There's extra breathing gear on every fire truck. It's there. It's available for them to use. The jury simply believed that, and that's their problem. The job description. The job description for fire lieutenant says you're going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and oh yeah, you may be able to be rotated in or out of fire inspection. That could be part of your duty. Then when you look at the job description for inspectors, what does it say? It says you're to go to fire. An exchange between former fire chief Knopf and Mr. Dietz was very informative. Mr. Dietz asked Chief Knopf on the stand, he said, Chief Knopf, it doesn't say that when inspectors go to fires, they're supposed to fight fires in their job description, does it? The chief says, no, we don't put it in our job description anymore for firefighters, you're supposed to fight fires. They're supposed to know that that's what they're trying to do. And first and foremost, they are firefighters. So there are many points of evidence below that the jury heard that they found responsible for the fact that, yes, these plaintiffs' duties did include fighting fires, and they did fight fires. But, gentlemen, the truth is only 1% of the firefighters' time in the city of Abilene actually spent fighting fires. The jury also heard evidence that the firefighters who are in fire suppression, they also received 2 hours of training nearly every day on inspections, fire prevention, because, as one plaintiff said, the best way to put out a fire is to prevent a fire. And that's exactly what the training and what the aim and the goal of the Abilene Fire Department has been. These gentlemen's duties did indeed include fighting fires. Well, they will tell you no one told them that that was their job. It's listed. A fire lieutenant, you're trained, you're expected to do what you're trained to do. These gentlemen rotated in and out. They served most of their time under direct supervision of a fire suppression commander. And their testimony, their own testimony, is that whatever he told them to do, they had to do. Matter of fact, two of them testified that they were fighting fire and the ground chief sent them home. Why did he send them home? They didn't have on all their protective gear. He was their commanding officer. Just as he could tell them to fight a fire, he could say, gentlemen, go home. You're not dressed properly. You're in violation of the rules. Two-thirds of the time, a district chief in suppression is the man who told these inspectors, fire lieutenants, what to do. Gentlemen, the jury heard 2 days of evidence and testimony. I won't rehash it here for you. I hope I answered your question, sir.
Any other questions? Thank you, Kevin.
Your Honor, is responding briefly to the arguments made. 1% of firefighters' time spent fighting fires, but the testimony also is that the remainder of their time is spent in maintaining the firefighting equipment and training in firefighting techniques. Justice Gonzalez asked a question about what was the city's evidence that these gentlemen fought fires. I would posit that the response to that question didn't include anything about the jobs that these inspectors did. These gentlemen were inspectors and investigators. If they were that and that was their job, they were entitled to the benefits of this statute. The city's evidence was that they slept in a fire station. They all had an office in the central fire station. They had a bed there with their office. They didn't sleep out in the fire station. They went out to do inspections with the fire companies. We agree. Inspection work was part of their work. They also did technical inspections. Ted Bechtel, we filled in. The evidence there actually was that on one occasion, he filled in for a person on a fire truck. He substituted in for somebody who was in fire suppression, and during that time, he made a run on a fire. That had nothing to do with his normal fire inspection job. That was something he did where he subbed in for another firefighter whose duties did include firefighting. She says there's extra self-contained breathing apparatus that's on the truck. That says nothing about the actual job that these people do. Those SCBAs are on the truck, so if somebody's SCBA runs dry, they can get a fresh tank. So yeah, I guess anybody could use those. It says nothing about the jobs of these investigators and inspectors. She said the job description says they fight fires. What the job description says is they respond to fires, the unrebutted testimony, they respond to do investigation and inspection work. In 7 and 12 years as inspectors, these men were never asked by a fireman commander ever to fight fires in any situation, and the testimony is that was even in situations where they had to call in off-duty personnel to investigate the fire. Chief Knopf testified his understanding was that they fight fires. But I asked Chief Knopf specifically, is investigation and inspection work firefighting? And he said yes, even if the statute says it's not, yes. He simply testified about a disagreement that he had with the statute. But again, if their jobs, their official work assignments, were investigation and inspection, they had the right to the benefits of the statute. Relying on phrases in a job description, testimony about an understanding that's unsupported by any facts in the record, these sorts of things allows a city to defeat the intent of the statute. The city argued in this case, if we'd known they said that jobs didn't include fighting fires, we'd have made sure that we had them pick up a hose every month or so. That's exactly the type of case we have here. Men who didn't fight fires in 7 and 12 years are now claimed to be firefighters because of this extraneous evidence that does not relate to the actual jobs that they performed day in and day out when they did inspection work and investigation work. We would ask the court to find that there is not legally sufficient evidence in support of the jury's 10-2 verdict and to reverse the Court of Appeals below.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the oral arguments for this morning. Both of these cases will be submitted on briefs and oral arguments, and the marshal will now please adjourn the court.
The audience, please rise.